The gospel lesson is found on page 867 in your Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And passing along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you allow us this opportunity to come together to worship you this morning. We are here for that purpose, to bring you praise and glory and honor. Father, as we come, we also come with an eagerness and expectancy to meet you in this place because you have promised to be here in our midst. And so even now, we ask that you would make your voice heard by each and every one of us. Speak to us through your word in such a way that our lives be shaped by your loving hand. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, if you were here last week, you heard me mention that in first century Judaism, the typical pattern of discipleship involved a person looking around for a rabbi he liked and choosing to associate with him as a disciple. As pointed out, that Jesus had a little different approach. As one person describes it, Jesus did not wait for volunteers. He called men with divine authority as God himself called the prophets in the Old Testament. You think about that and you got to admit, that would require a huge amount of chutzpah from any normal person. It can only be legitimate if Jesus is who he claims to be. Well, as we have already heard in Mark's gospel, that claim is that he is the Son of God. C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, Paul Little, and others have laid out the options. They make the point, either Jesus was a legend and it was all made up, there's too much evidence that shows otherwise, or he was a lunatic and what he really needed was medication, or he was a liar, deliberately deceiving everyone he met. Or he was telling the truth about himself as the Son of God, rightly calling people to believe and follow him as Master. I know for a lot of people that word Master has horrific associations with murderous and oppressive tyrants, rather than being associated with a loving and merciful God. While I would never demean or diminish the intensity of those negative associations, I would also point to the stark contrast of its meaning when used of Jesus. Used along other words such as teacher and Lord and rabbi, the title Master is one of positive relationship. The Bible scholar I.H. Marshall explains, the title expresses the relationship between Jesus and the disciples as being different from that between Jesus and other men, used only by disciples or near disciples. It has to do with relationship. It does signify an attitude of obedience, but only in the context of a relationship of love and respect. In Jesus, we have a master who demonstrates a very different pattern from those brutal ones. He is the Master, but one who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He is the Master, but one who washed the disciples' feet. He is the Master, but one who embodies and epitomizes the radical notion of servant leadership. Following him, therefore, we consider it a privilege to be called a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as we consider what it means for us to be followers of Jesus, we can only properly sort that out in the context of that relationship in which we recognize and acknowledge him as Master. Appropriate because we also know him to be the Son of God who has given himself as our Savior. As we see Jesus revealed more fully, we come to see God's message to us more clearly, which makes following the Master a positive alternative. Today's psalm and lessons all fit together to point that same direction. There are three observations I want to make in this regard. First, observe the consistent message from God throughout time. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, we read, "Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" I hear it all the time. People will sometimes talk about how the picture we get of God is different in the Old Testament than that of the New Testament. While there may be some differences in emphases, the foundational elements really are the same. The Old Testament may emphasize the law, while the New Testament emphasizes grace, but it is a false dichotomy to separate them completely. Both emphasize the place of faith in our relationship with the living God, who is both holy and forgiving. When Jesus made his way into Galilee, as we heard last week and again today, he preached the good news that in his person, the long-promised Messiah had arrived. That he himself is bringing the kingdom of God, and that to be included in the kingdom of God involves being united to him. He called people, therefore, to repent and believe in the gospel, the good news. Meaning, they were to turn from their rebellion against God in order to enter into relationship with him, being made possible by Jesus as the Savior and Redeemer. It was the same message in slightly more general terms which Jonah shared with the people of Nineveh. God was calling them to repent of their rebellion, inviting them into relationship with himself. In the psalm, David draws a contrast between two different categories of people, those who have turned away from God with the darkness of their lives showing the results, versus those like David who trust in God as my rock and my salvation, as he put it, who come to see his power and loving kindness firsthand. In the epistle, in the context of a more detailed conversation, Paul refers to two alternatives as patterns for life. One being the pursuit of one's own desires and whims, and the other being a faith commitment of devoted service to the Lord. What is that consistent message that comes before us today? There is no contrast between the mean God of the Old Testament and the nice God of the New Testament. He is the same God who has always had the same desire for us and for all people. Through Jesus, God has provided the means for us to turn from living with ourselves as God in order to come back into relationship with him, the living and true God, which has been his desire all along. That's the first observation. Second, observe the pattern of people being called to make a foundational life decision. We hear the description of Jesus specifically calling four people who just happen to be two pairs of brothers. The first two, Simon and Andrew, were busy at their fishing business when Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Well, this is probably not the first time they had encountered Jesus. It was the first time they needed to make a significant decision. The choice was between holding on to life as they knew it or stepping out in faith to follow Jesus into an unknown future. We heard what happened. They chose to follow Jesus. The other two, James and John, were also at work in the family business, Zebedee and Sons Enterprises, when Jesus called them in similar fashion. They chose to leave their father and the other employees behind in order to follow Jesus. Understand something, folks. Jesus was not just distracting them from their jobs to go hang out at the mall. To decide to follow Jesus meant their life focus was going to change drastically. No longer would it be on themselves, their jobs, or even their families. To follow Jesus would mean being committed to him as their master, which also meant their lives were going to take on a greater significance than ever before. That same decision is what we hear set before people in the psalm and other lessons today. For Jonah personally and the people of Nineveh, choosing between the ways of the world and the ways of God. David laying out the decision between vainly choosing lies, oppression, and robbery, or choosing to trust in the Lord. Paul likewise pointing to a choice between human wisdom and godly wisdom. There is no having it both ways or sitting on the fence. People are called to make a life-defining decision. Well, that same decision is what we have set before us today. It means more for us than just tagging along with Jesus, enjoying nice words, nice actions, and maybe an occasional miracle. We answer that call to decide by repenting and believing the gospel ourselves. That yes, we are sinners, but through Jesus, through trusting in Jesus, we are sinners saved by grace, forgiven, redeemed, reconciled with God, and given eternal life. In the context of that redeemed relationship, we live out our lives with the abiding presence and power of the Holy Spirit, enabling us to follow the Master, rejoicing in the promise of his leadership, admitting our failures when we mess up and receiving his forgiveness as we seek to walk in newness of life, looking for those opportunities to be shaped by him so that we can be used by him as his witnesses in the world. It is a foundational life decision to follow the Master. Then third, observe the marvelous integrity of the call to make such a significant decision to follow the Master. What do I mean by that? We can see that integrity and the realism woven through the various descriptions. As with Jonah, following the Master will sometimes mean doing things we don't want to do or don't understand. Because Jonah was resentful toward the Ninevites, he did not want them to be restored to relationship with God. He didn't want to do it. As with David, following the Master will mean we sometimes find people working to undermine our faithfulness to the Lord. The temptation will be for us to respond to them in the same way they have treated us, rather than trusting God to sort that stuff out. As Paul discussed with the Corinthians, when following the Master, sometimes our circumstances will feel either overwhelming or hopeless. There will be need for growing trust in order for us to live in growing faithfulness. With those realities, it is imperative that we stay mindful of the reality described by Mark. Not sometimes, but all the time. When Jesus says, "Follow me," he includes the promise of his presence with us. He does not call us to walk alone. He calls us to walk with Him. As we follow the Master, we also find that He leads us beyond ourselves to be mindful of the people around us. Having been brought into the net ourselves, He then makes us fishers of men and women, of boys and girls. But the good news, having permeated our own hearts, we are called and compelled to share it with others. The other day, I was reminded of a segment they used to have on Sesame Street. You ever watch Sesame Street? I don't anymore. When my kids were little, I would sometimes watch it with them and often enjoying it as much as they did. But I remember that this one bit where Ernie went fishing. He's sitting in his boat out on the lake, and he would lean over the side of the boat and call out, "Here, fishy, fishy, fishy." And all of a sudden, fish would start jumping into the boat. And I thought, man, that would be so cool. Just to go out in the middle of a lake and just go, "Here, fishy, fishy," and have fish jump into the boat. But real fishing doesn't work like that, does it? Same is true when we talk about being fishers for the kingdom of God. In the course of living out our relationships with others, we have the opportunity for them to see the nature of our relationship with Jesus. That may involve presenting clear and cogent arguments for the truth about Jesus, or it may involve the quiet consistency of genuine faith in Jesus lived out before their eyes. One way or the other, or with any number of variations, we must come to that point of showing them Jesus as the one we follow if we are going to be His faithful witnesses. Why is that so important? Because we don't save people. Jesus does. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Heavenly Father, again this morning, we are reminded of Your goodness and gracious loving kindness. That You have acted in so many ways to reveal Yourself to us. And even when we have turned away, You sent Your Son to win us back, to give His life as our Savior, so that we might be reconciled with You. You call us, each of us, into that redeemed relationship. As You call us by name, help us to hear Your voice clearly and to respond yes, in all those ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.